We're talking about giving our kids to God. And kids are precious, aren't they? This is Child Dedication Sunday, and God has given us these children. And as we said, out of 200 people here, 99 are 17 and younger. Some of you are thinking, give our kids to God. I thought God had a no return policy on kids. Maybe you lost your receipt. There are days when we lose it, aren't there? There are days when we can't take it anymore. When Jill and I were first married, we had 5 theories on raising kids. Now we have 5 kids and no theories. It's hard to raise kids. And we were not meant to give our bright ideas to our kids. God has ordained mothers and fathers to give His truth to our kids. We support 21 missionaries in our church around the world. But the greatest missionary today is missionary mom and missionary dad, and missionary grandma and missionary grandpa. And you have been put on a mission. Amen? And that's hard because our children go in many different directions. We're not sure how they're going to end up, but we know the Savior who not only has us, but has our kids. Amen? And so I want to ask you, have you realized this morning, and by the way, I told our leadership that I was only going to preach an hour this morning, and they said, 15 minutes, Matt, can you do it? So we'll see if we can do it. But have you realized that your kids are a gift from God? And have you realized that they don't belong to you, that they belong to God? And have you given them over to God for His plan and His purpose in their lives? And have you really, truly left it up to God to show you how to lead your kids? Now, some of you, you're in various situations. Some of you are raising your kids. They're young. They have their whole life in front of them. Some of you have gotten saved later in life, and you don't know the spiritual state of your kids. There's so many other things in between. What I'm saying is, have you today recognized that God is good and that He is sovereign, and that if you don't get Him involved, our kids have no hope? Do you believe that? Well, look over at 1 Samuel chapter 1. 1 Samuel chapter 1. That's in the Old Testament portion of the Bible. And here we have the story of Hannah. And some of you know this story. We're not going to go into great detail because of time. But Elkanah, the husband, had a wife named Hannah. She could not bear children. And she would go to the tabernacle here in this place. It's called the temple, but there isn't actually a physical temple. It is the tabernacle. And it's in Shiloh. And they would travel to Shiloh 3 times a year, just as the feasts in the Old Testament prescribe. And she would go there and she would pray. And she would pray at home. She would pray on feast days. And she was in great pain. You know, before we can bring our kids to God, we have to bring our own pain to God. Wouldn't you agree? That's our first idea. We need to bring our own pain to God. That's our first point. In chapter 1, in verse 10, it says, Hannah was deeply distressed. It says that she was hurting. And she prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your servant and remember me and not forget your servant, but will give to your servant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall touch his head. We see a deep pain in this woman's life. She was not able to have children. And as I mentioned before, there are 10% in our society that they cannot have children. But God knows the pain that he allows in our lives is there to lead us to him. Hannah got it. We can just worry all the time about things in our life. How many of you are good worriers? But how many of you know how to turn pain into prayer? How many of you know how to turn worry into worship? God is not pleased when we worry. In fact, 365 times in the Bible, the Lord says, "Fear not." He says things like, "Cast all of your anxieties upon me. Cast all your cares on me, for I care for you." Do you have pain in your life? Maybe it's pain because of sinful choices. We make sinful choices sometimes, and that brings pain. Sometimes it's the sovereign choice of God that brings pain into our lives. And that's even more confusing. Listen, I think of Hannah. So much of her pain she didn't choose for herself. How many people choose trials and affliction in their life like Hannah had? Nobody does. How many of you knew your spouse well when you first got married? I mean, the truth is, we really don't know our spouse until we've been with them quite a while, right? Am I right or wrong? And so much even in marriage that brings pain. We don't know. We don't choose. So much of this pain, if we will see it from God's perspective, is to draw us to the one who can heal our hearts. Don't you want to know him this morning? Don't you want to know the one who can heal your heart? Now, this is not a Santa Claus prayer. What I'm saying is, Hannah had a problem. She wanted to have a baby. Well, I want a lot of things, okay? So don't turn this into a Santa Claus prayer. Don't turn this into a genie prayer where you rub the bottle and God grants you all your wishes, right? What we want is to understand God's plan for Hannah. His main plan was not to give her a son, but was to draw her closer to himself. Don't turn this into a name it, claim it passage. This is teaching us that God ordains pain in our lives. Do you believe that? Now, is God cruel? God is merciful. One of the greatest things we can do is to know that the pain that God gives us is meant for our good. C.S. Lewis said, "Pain is God's megaphone." You know, I thought when I came to this church that I knew the Lord well. But I think I was just a little kid in Christ. And I've been growing and growing so much. And each year I come to realize how little of the Lord that I really know. Do you know the Lord? When you say, "I want to know him no matter what it takes," do you really mean it? For Hannah, it was childlessness. Now, the Lord answered that, but for many, he does not answer that. And there are worse things than childlessness that we can go through. Isn't that right? And some of you have gone and are going through terrible things in your life. And some of you wish you could have your right arm cut off in exchange for some relief from the trial that you're going through right now. But I want to encourage you to keep praying, "God, whatever it takes, I want to know you." Now be careful, because God will answer this. And he sometimes will take out all of the crutches that you're leaning on in your life. There's so many things that are good blessings from the Lord, but do you want to know him? Then I'm asking you for one thing this morning. Will you trust him? I'm not talking about wishful thinking and hoping things work out okay. Trusting God means you don't know what's ahead. But whatever is ahead, He's with you. Amen? And even if it means He strips me of everything, I want God. Lord, whatever it takes, bring your pain to God. Some of you are not doing that this morning. In fact, we don't have time to read it, but Hannah was very misunderstood in this passage. They thought she had been drinking too much because she was praying without words. She was praying from her heart and her mouth was moving. She was misunderstood. Can I say that if you bring your pain to God, sometimes you're going to look out of your mind. People are going to misunderstand you. You're going to do and say things that people don't understand, and that's okay. We need to bring our pain to God. A lot of people don't do what Hannah did. Instead of going to prayer, they do go to drink. Instead of going to prayer, they do become bitter. Instead of going to prayer, they do bust up their marriage. Because pain hurts, doesn't it? How many of you know that if you don't go to God with your pain, you're going to self-destruct? How many of you know that? You're going to self-destruct. And you know who's going to self-destruct? If you have children in your home and if you self-destruct, your children are going to bear the weight of that disaster in your home. And my prayer for you today is to recognize that all the pain that you have in your life, there is a sovereign God who is calling you to Himself, and He wants you to take that pain to Him, because the Bible says that by Jesus' stripes, by His wounds on the cross, we are what? We're healed. There's no other way. And for some of you, it's sinful choices of yourself or sinful choices of others. But some, there are sovereign choices. And some, it's just a mixture of all of it. And it causes severe, unbearable pain at times. How many of you know, have been married very long, that when you don't know your spouse very well, you misunderstand them, and all chaos breaks loose in the house? You know that? And there's great pain that can come from marriage. How many of you know that there's great pain that can come from wandering children? If you don't know where your child is in the faith, how many of you know there's great pain that can come when you don't know where your children are spiritually? Can I encourage you, don't numb yourself. Take that pain to God. You're saying, is He really going to do this in 15 minutes? I'm going to try. Let's go to number two. Let's go to number two. Give your child to God. Look at this. It says here in chapter 1, verse 21 and 22, the man Elkanah, this is Hannah's husband, and all his house went up to offer to the Lord the yearly sacrifice and to pay his vow. This is all at Shiloh. This is not yet at Jerusalem, but at Shiloh. But Hannah did not go up, for she said to her husband, as soon as the child is weaned, I will bring him so that he may appear in the presence of the Lord and dwell there forever. Later, she tells the priest Eli in verse 27, for this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition that I made to him. Therefore, I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is lent to the Lord. I find it amazing that Hannah would make such a vow to God. Not just to give him as a Nazirite, which she did. That's for a certain period of time. But she gives her child to the Lord for his whole life. So once he's weaned, 4 or 5 years old back then, once he's weaned, he goes to the temple. I'm sorry, it's called the temple in this passage, but it's a tabernacle. It's a tent. In Shiloh. And that's where he lives with Eli and Eli's corrupt sons. Now, if you look at the big plan of God, God has a plan to bring blessing to Israel There are no prophets in the land. The word of the Lord is very scarce, the Bible says in these passages. And Eli's sons, were they godly or not so godly? Not so godly. And so God is not only raising up a priest in Samuel, he's raising up a prophet to shake the nation. And this mama demonstrated complete trust in God. And I want to ask you, are you trusting in the Lord with your children? What I mean by that, look at verse 28, the latter part. It says, and he worshiped the Lord there. The he is actually referring to who? Samuel. Can you imagine how often he saw his mama praying? Can you imagine how she was misunderstood at times, like before? But she didn't care. She followed the Lord. And it says that Elkanah, the husband, was very dedicated to the Lord. It shows that he's going up for the feasts. Some of you are teaching your children correct doctrine. And I applaud you for that. That is good. You should teach them correct doctrine. But what do they see in your life? Many children who receive correct doctrine go astray, right? Now, remember, that deposit, amen, that deposit stays with them. Hallelujah. You know, I didn't even have godly parents, but I received the truth of the gospel when a church picked me up on a bus and brought me to a vacation Bible school, and I heard the gospel. And that deposit stayed with me, and God converted, when I was 15 years old, He converted my soul, and He called me to be a preacher of the gospel, to be a missionary overseas, and then to come back here. I had no idea His plans for me. Listen, whatever your heart is for your child, God's heart is greater. Amen? So teach them good, sound doctrine. You can't know the Lord without sound doctrine, because you can't know the Lord unless you present Him as He reveals Himself in the Word of God. Here's the problem. There are many parts in the Bible that offend us. Isn't that true? We want to be like Thomas Jefferson and just cut out the parts that we don't like. Got a pair of scissors? Because you better start doing that unless you're willing to receive God as He is revealed to us in the Holy Scriptures. Now, the only reason we're offended is because we're sinners. God is so good. If you knew Him as He wants you to know Him, oh, you would understand and love every word written in this book. But look at what it says. It says that Samuel worshiped God. A little boy. Think about that. The other day, Ava got up in the morning like she usually does at oh dark 30. Woke me up, and she's always like, Daddy, tell me a joke. No jokes. Can we have devotions? Okay. She knows that'll always get me out of bed. When am I going to say no? Daddy, what is the chief end of man? You know? So I love spending time with my daughter. I love spending time with all of my children. And we sing about, you know, I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Where? Yeah, down in my heart to stay. And we always talk about what that means. And we go to prayer. And I always tell her, you're a prayer warrior, Ava. You are a prayer warrior. You love to pray. Whenever she's doubting herself, she's like, I don't know if I want to pray. Remember, you are a prayer warrior. You have to give your children their identity. That's your responsibility as a father and mother. And so one day she wakes me up and she's almost crying. And she says, Daddy. She says, Daddy. And I said, what? Daddy, I have the joy in my heart. What? I have the joy down in my heart, Daddy. It's one thing for it to be a song. It's another thing for it to be a reality. And I think Hannah was always just worshiping God, loving God. She sinned, I'm certain. And when she sinned, I'm sure she humbled herself. Because that boy, he wanted to worship God. And God recorded it right here. We give our kids to God so that He can work in their hearts and do what we cannot. Now, don't think this is a formula. For some of you, you did it right. You are doing it right. You gave all that you had according to the light that you had at the time. And you did everything that you could for your children to come to Christ. And they're still not in Christ, or you're not sure where they are spiritually. Listen, there is no formula. Do you trust a sovereign God? Whether He saves our children when they're 5 or 15 or 25 or 35, do you think you're going to care at the day of Christ when they're right by your side and you walk into heaven side by side together? All of your tears are going to be wiped away. Of course we want our children to be saved at the earliest of age, but sometimes God has things to teach us. Are you ready to trust God no matter what? Even if it means that you have to spend some years in turmoil, in prayer, bringing that worry and turning it into worship, bringing that pain and turning it into prayer, because God wants to do something great in you. Finally, the best thing you can do for your kids is to give yourself to God. Look at chapter 2, verses 1 and 2 of 1 Samuel. It says, Hannah prayed and said, "My heart exalts in the Lord. My horn," or my power, "is exalted in the Lord. My mouth derides my enemies because I rejoice in your" what? "Your salvation. There is none holy like the Lord, for there is none besides you. There is no rock like our God." The truth is, you cannot model what you do not have. Listen, I was raised in a home where I knew very little of the Lord Jesus Christ, but that was better for me than to be raised in a home that is filled with dead religion. Because dead religion is like a vaccine. It takes the good and it overexposes you to it so that you're immune to the beauty of God's mercy. Now, my home was horrible. It was rotten. I'm scarred until I see Jesus in some ways. So that scares me a little bit, because I have a home where I give the gospel to my children every day. And so here's my charge to you. If you are saved, if you are a saved mom or a saved dad here today as a parent, tremble before the Lord. Tremble before Him. Be like Hannah. She exulted in the salvation of God. And who does God save? Does He save the righteous? Who does God save? Are you a sinner? Have you messed up big time as a parent? I sometimes look at my children and I say, I don't know how you're serving God today. Because you see Pastor Matt. They see other sides of me that I am not proud of. And when they see that, I have to go to them and I say, oh, please don't depart from the living God. I'm such a sinner. I need God's forgiveness and I need your forgiveness. Make your repentance as great as your sins. Amen. Finally, we need to give ourselves to God. If you're a Christian here, give yourself to God. Tremble before Him. But what if you don't know Christ today? Jesus told the story of two men. One built his house on the rock. And the other built his house on the sand. The house on the rock, what happened to that? It stood strong. But the house on the sand was destroyed. Are you building your house on the rock whose name is Jesus? Do you know him? For anyone here who does not yet know him as Lord and Savior, let me say that the wages of sin is what? It's death. That means we're all going to stand trial and be judged and condemned to eternal hell because we're sinners. The wages of sin is death, the book of Romans says. But the gift of God, the free gift of God is what? Eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Here's the good news for moms, dads, for kids, for everyone here, for whether you're married or singled, whether you have kids or not. You have a record today that's going to send you to hell. But God is so good that he gives you the free gift in his Son of a new beginning, a new record, a new standing before God. Hallelujah. And if you don't have that today, the scripture says that if you in faith will repent and call out with your whole heart on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, with true trust and true faith, you can be saved. Do not wait. Don't wait another day if you are wondering. And my final application is to the children. Okay? Young people, when you were little, your mom and dad probably dedicated you to the Lord, right? I wonder if that prayer has been answered yet, that you would be saved. They saw your first birth, but you know they're waiting for your second birth. Do you know Christ? I challenged the youth this morning. If you know Christ, when we're in youth group, we said this. If you know Christ, have you given your testimony to the church? If you know Christ, are you willing to say publicly that you love him and be baptized in front of the whole church? Or are you just a stony ground hearer that springs up for a little while and then dies? Oh, listen, don't wait. Come to Christ today. Hold on to him today. Continue in him today. And that's for all of us. Oh, believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. How many of you know that you'll never regret giving your children to God? Amen. All of us, any of us who are parents here or grandparents, you know that you have failed so many times and you're going to keep failing. But how many of you know that we have a good, good Father? We have a Father who every good gift comes from him. And he loves you. Rest in that today. You have a Father who loves you. Have you messed up? Yes. Enough for your sins to be, for your kids to be damned forever? I'm the first one right here. I've messed up enough for my kids to think Christianity is a hypocrisy. We all have. But let's be renewed in the Spirit. Amen? Let's believe that God can raise up dry bones. Amen? Let's believe that we have a good, good Father. Let's stand as we sing that beautiful song.